Good morning, everyone. We love you and we miss you. Let us pray. Dear and gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, filled with your abundant blessings. To wake up in a warm home, physically and mentally healthy, is such a blessing. To have food to eat and shoes to wear, and to feel safe, Lord. May we never take these things for granted. For sunny skies and cool breezes and full moon and bright stars in the sky, we give you thanks. For families, Lord, quirks and all. And for Christmas lights popping up on homes everywhere, illuminating our common bond as we await the birth of Jesus. We give you thanks. On this day, as we hear Mary's story, the story of a young woman given an overwhelming call, help us to see that just as you sent someone to walk with Mary when she was lonely and afraid, you send people to walk with us. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but not having our big traditional gatherings filled with love and laughter and lots of hugs, and being in church with you every day between Thanksgiving and Christmas, singing those beloved hymns that are woven into our souls, is just about doing me in. At about 10 o'clock the night before Thanksgiving, I just broke down in a big puddle and sobbed. My sweet husband tried to comfort me by saying, "It's just one meal, honey." But to me, it is so much more than that. It's family. It's giving and receiving love and rejoicing in all that we hold in our hearts. It's life. I miss my annoying little brothers and my nieces and nephews and squeezing my kids. They may not, but I sure do. I so needed to hear this story from the Gospel of Luke to get me out of my funk, to put my whining into perspective, to remember how blessed I am. Not only is Mary's song one of the most beautiful pieces of scripture found anywhere in the Bible, but Mary's story, Mary's life, is such a poignant reminder for us to trust, especially during this season in our lives, to trust that God's got this, that God's got us. Our story this morning began a few weeks earlier when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her she was going to have a child. We've heard this story so often that we just kind of skip over that part, but think on that for a moment. An angel came to Mary to tell her that she was going to have a baby. Now look over your front door for a moment and imagine that you hear a knock. So you get up and go and answer it, and there a, I don't know, glowing, translucent, floating man in white with wings greets you by name and then tells you that you're going to have a baby, the Son of God, no less. Oh, and your kind old cousin Elizabeth, she's pregnant too. Yikes. An angel doesn't seem like something to be taken lightly. Mary is obviously confused. How can this be, she asks. She must be scared. Who wouldn't be? And yet still, somehow, she manages to utter these most powerful words, these words so filled with trust. Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Wow, what trust. Now, whether she said these words hoping the angel would just leave, or she really did have such an unflappable faith that this message really did come from God, we don't know. What we do know is that she packed a bag and went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. I imagine when the angel Gabriel left, the reality of her situation sunk in. Living in a small village, people were bound to question why this young, unwed girl was pregnant. Did she tell them she was visited by an angel and that her baby would be the Son of God? Did they believe her? Angel or not, it would be possible not to have some doubt. So Mary sets off to see her cousin, kindred spirits, both expecting sons that will change the world. And the moment Mary walks in the door, Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb. And filled with the Holy Spirit, Mary's cousin cries out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. Seeing her cousin, who's way too old to have a baby, standing pregnant in front of her, someone who completely how it feels to be part of this miraculous story, this story that must sound so absurd to the rest of the world, a kindred spirit, someone who is walking in her shoes, someone who's been there, done that, is exactly what Mary needs. And in her relief, in the assurance young Mary finds in her cousin's words, words that could have come from no one other than God, Mary utters this, her Magnificat, words that have been passed on throughout the generations, spoken in liturgy, prayed in the evening, sung in the morning, carved into marble, offering hope to the world and to us. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. These words uttered by a young girl some 2,000 years ago have been a beacon of light to all those feeling lost, forgotten, and hopeless. Sister Elizabeth Johnson writes, "The Magnificat is a revolutionary song of salvation. People in need in every society hear a blessing in this canticle. The battered woman, the single parent without resources, those without food on the table or without even a table, the homeless family, the young abandoned to their own devices, the old who are discarded, all are encompassed in the hope Mary proclaims." God placed Elizabeth in Mary's path and Mary in Elizabeth's. They were each other's earthly angels. Who has God placed in your path to comfort you? Who can you call and say, "I'm still so sad about not seeing my grandkids at Thanksgiving. I'm already grieving the loss of our Christmas traditions. How can I care for my family when I no longer have a job? I feel like a failure. I'm so scared for our son. He's so young. How can he be so sick?" And to whom can you be an angel? Who can you drop dinner to? Who could use a secret Santa? Who do you know that is lonely it can use the gift of an unrushed, loving phone call where you really listen and show that you care? It is the second Sunday in Advent. Christmas is 2.5 weeks away, plenty of time to prepare our anxious hearts for the birth of the Christ child. I leave you with this gospel challenge. Rather than feeling sad over what we're missing, what if each morning between now and Christmas, we read the word of Mary's song as we sip our morning coffee and say our evening prayers to remind us of how incredibly blessed we are. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Because Mary's story really is our story. When everything feels way beyond our control, when we're confused and sad and lonely and just simply done with it all, let's do what Mary did and reach out. Because when we reach out to one another, and when we look back on all the hurdles of our lives and see that God was indeed present and listening and looking upon plain old lowly us with favor, we're going to feel God's presence. And then, like Mary, we trust. God's got this. God's got us. Amen.